This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Welcome. In the next 60 minutes, everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. The Dons are back on Sunday service at Partick Thistle, looking to bounce back from the disappointment of the Celtic game a fortnight previously. We're with the boss and players in just a minute. News from Firhill as well, plus the rest of the Scottish Premiership previewed in full. And we're down the divisions and across the country for the full domestic lineup. Also golf, the latest from Dubai, and lots more to come on Friday Sport. It starts right now.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
First then, as always, to the manager, Derek McInnes, and he's looking for a similar performance to the one the last time the pair met.
Going into this game with Thistle, we beat them early in the season when we put in a really strong performance, and I'm sure it'll take that again to get a similar outcome. So all our focus and energy is on that. You know, we're looking to keep, you know, some sort of momentum within a decent run, and we've got, it's important that we don't allow the disappointment of the last game to affect what happens for the next one. So no, we're looking forward to it. So I think that I think we all enjoyed watching Scotland against Ireland. It's been a fantastic result, and that was the main thing. But you know, we're back to work this week and really concentrating on the Thistle.
Yeah, there must be a lot of positives you can take from the Celtic game, because largely it was a very good performance.
Well, there was, you know, but you know, the overriding thing is the result. You know, of any game. I mean, you see your players do so much right in the game and put so much into it, and you want your players to get the full reward for that, but no, we didn't, and that's something that we want to make sure doesn't happen too often, you know. So it's there's ways that there's things that we can do better in the game, but like I said, there was a lot to like about us, but ultimately, like everything else, we all want to have a good performance every time we play, but you want the result more, and you know, it was harsh on us, but that's what happens when you don't take chances and you don't defend properly at the end. So there was a lot to like about us, and we'll try and concentrate more on that.
How's the team you're shaping up? You've got some selection dilemmas to deal
with? Well, obviously Shea misses a game through suspension, Willow misses a game through injury, we don't have anybody back in the squad from who wasn't available for the Celtic game. Young Craig Murray has done a bit of training with the physio this week, but the game will more than likely come too quick for him on Sunday. So we're not. We have got some options there to jig about with, but whatever team's put out will be absolutely fine. I've no doubt about that.
Russell heading in the right direction.
Aye, well, the direction of the pitch is that way. I'd like to see him heading out of there, but he's certainly going. He's working hard, Russell. He could do a wee break at the minute. You know, he's straining at least just to get back involved. You know, and he could do a wee bit of a break, and hopefully we can just keep him pushing in the right direction towards getting back in amongst us. But he's still got a bit to go in terms of being fully fit and available for us.
Good evening, you're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport. I'm Dave McDermott. Joining me tonight, Andrew Shiney and Dave Galloway. Derek, very much concentrating on the match this season at Pittodrie, Andrew, rather than the fixture at Firhill last season, where, to be honest, we were far from impressive. We didn't really turn up that afternoon.
We didn't, unfortunately. I think Lyle Taylor had a purple patch in that game where he ran the Aberdeen defence absolutely ragged and more or less won the game single-handedly. And of course, that was Thistle's first home win of the season, coming in as late as February. But no, this will be a different game altogether, because there's a lot of changes of personnel, particularly in the Thistle side, compared to what turned out that February afternoon. But if you look at this season, we were very positive against them at Pittodrie, won the game out of the park, and a similar performance on Sunday should see us win again.
The Jags, Dave, they do like to play good football, though.
Yeah, they do, and I think that will help Aberdeen, because, you know, they're not going to pack 10 men behind the ball and try and frustrate Aberdeen. They like to play the ball about. They've got some very clever players, the likes of Higginbotham, players like that, that like to move the ball about on the ground. They don't lump it up the park, and I think it should be an exciting game.
Yeah, it's the only trouble, of course, is it's another one that doesn't exactly suit the fans. Doesn't suit us either, but, you know, that's
jobs. So, but for fans, it's an awful early start on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just about losing count of the number of games, successive games that we've had that are not at Saturday 3 o'clock. It must be 5 or 6 or something like that by now. And it's, you know, like you say, yeah, it's great to get the TV money and that, but the game is supposed to be about the fans, not about the telly.
Yeah,
the thing is, the TV money comes in regardless of when we're playing. If we played
exactly
every game at 3 o'clock, we'd still be getting the TV money. Mm. But I think you've got to give huge credit to the travelling fans who have already snapped up the entire allocation of away tickets from Pittodrie, and there's going to be cash turnstiles on the go. And I think you said to me before we went on air, Dave, something like 1,300 tickets were sold ahead of the game. Now, when you're looking at Thistle's attendances, their best attendance this season, 3,821. If there's going to be 1,300 Aberdeen fans plus walk-ups, plus the Thistle support there, it's going to be their biggest gate of the season. So,
which is not bad for a Sunday lunchtime televised game.
Which superb. The TV companies will probably say, well, look, that's your biggest attendance of the season. So there's two sides to the coin, but I think fans must be getting a bit fed up, because it was the 4th of October when we last played a Saturday 3 o'clock game. Our next one is the 6th of December, 2 months and 2 days. And as you say, Dave, I mean, we've had so many games. I mean, we're getting a bit sick of it. It's what it's like for fans having to travel up and down the roads at all different times of day and night. And, you know, we've played every single day of the week.
Yeah.
Funnily enough,
Mal today was saying it's Sunday, it's 12:30 kickoff, isn't it? And it's 12:45. It's not even just the days. Now, that's people working for the club. So again, it's dependent.
That's because he's looked and seen that Sky's programme starts at 12:30.
Yeah, but it's Sunday. You know, you can have Sunday lunchtime games and Saturday lunchtime games, but depending who's broadcasting them,
well,
at different times.
It could be 12:15, could be 12:45.
Well, it's going to be 12:15 next week, isn't it? In the cup tie down at Dundee. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it is.
How can we plan our pre-match meals like this with all these different times?
It's ridiculous.
It's extremely difficult.
But we manage.
There's places that aren't open.
We get by.
And we're having to go to places that we wouldn't choose, because, of course, we're always looking out for healthy options.
Of course. Right.
Nice salad.
Roll on the horn on Sunday then. So, well, he watched from the bench the last time the Dons and Partick met, but goalkeeper Scott Brown was impressed by the Maryhill Magyars' approach.
We like to get the ball down and play, and I was impressed with them when they came up here. They like to get the ball down and play out from the back, and they play some really good football. So hopefully it'll be a good game, but we know it's going to be a really tough game. But like I say, it's one we're really looking forward to.
And what about your own form, Scott? How happy are you?
I think you'll never get me saying I've played well or anything like that, but I'm just taking each game as it comes and trying to work hard and stay in the team. And hopefully I've done enough in the last game to stay in the team for the next game, and that's the way I've looked at it throughout my career, and that's the way I'll carry on doing it and just keep working hard and keep trying to improve.
Are you looking on the sort of battle for the number one jersey with Jamie? You can kind of bring out the best in each other, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I say, Jamie's been absolutely brilliant. He's working hard, like myself. We both work hard together to try and push each other. And even this week when Jim's been away with the 21s, he's put on some great sessions, and he's great to work with, and he's a really great bloke as well.
Scott Brown there. Dave, he is the man in possession. Will he retain the jersey on Sunday?
I fully expect him to, because he's done very little wrong in between the sticks these last few games. He's looked calm, confident, assured, and, you know, that gives confidence to the back four. So, yeah, I would definitely have him in between the sticks on Sunday.
Great problem for Derek and Jim Leighton and the rest of the coaching staff to have, Andrew, because, you know, despite his critics, Jamie Langfield is a top keeper, as we've defended him in so many times on this show, but Scott Brown has also proved that he's a top keeper as well.
Absolutely. I mean, he's done very little wrong, and the Celtic game was the first time that he's conceded any goals for Aberdeen. So, like Dave, I think he'll be in the goalkeeping position come Sunday. But it's a nice position for Derek to be in, and Jamie knows that he's going to have to prove every time he turns out for the 20s. And credit to him, he could have gone into the sulks and gone, I'm not going to play for the 20s. If not playing for the first team, I'm not interested in playing at all. But he hasn't. He's gone into the 20s. He's played well from all reports, saved a penalty in one of the games. And, you know, it'll keep Scott Brown on his toes knowing that Jamie Langfield is pushing as hard as he is for that starting position.
Just a bit about the injuries, Dave. It's you know, there's still plenty of options for Derek, but you've basically got the core of your the middle of the park with Willow Flood now. I mean, that Willow out till January, we reckon, a big, big loss.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how many times we've said on this programme and during commentary, Dave, you know, just what an important player Willow Flood is. But this is a good chance maybe for other people to come in because, you know, we do have a good, strong squad. It's a really good chance for somebody else to step up to the plate.
Cammy Smith springs to mind. He's been outstanding for the 20s this season. He's not seen too much of game time, which has been understandable because, you know, we'll come on to the in the poll, Lauren Shankland, who's scoring goals for fun for the 20s. But in order to get into the first team, he's got to dislodge Adam Rooney and David Goodwillie. Who are both not guaranteed of a start themselves.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I remember Derek McInnes saying, I think it was a supporters function, when he was asked the question, what about Lauren Shankland? And he says, well, let's be honest, is he better than Goodwillie or Rooney at the moment? The answer is he's a good player, but he doesn't have their experience. So, no, they're not playing badly. So it's extremely difficult for Lawrence to get into the side. But, you know, it's a happy position for the manager to have a striker in under-20s who scored, I think, 15 goals this season.
Including a hat-trick this week.
Yeah, and he's trying to get dislodge a striker who's got 13 goals this season with two hat-tricks. So not a bad position for the manager to have. But in the middle of the park, Willow definitely will be a miss. No question at all about that. You're looking and saying, well, who's the likely replacement? And Nicky Lowe would be the guy that you put in. Unfortunately, Nicky's injured at the moment. So there's got to be a wee bit of rejuggling of the pack. But the good thing is, every time we've thought, we thought at the start of last season, remember, when Willow got injured and Barry was injured, we thought, oh, that's our midfield gone. But other players stepped up to the plate and they weren't missed.
And Shea Logan suspended.
Yeah.
Craigie Murray would be the obvious player. Another one who's
another
on
one
the
who's
treatment
injured.
Table.
Yeah, it's. I mean, even you know, had Russell been fit, Russell started as a right back, he could have slotted in there with the experience that he's got, but he's not fit. But yeah, unfortunately, that Shea's run of 39 successive starts since he made his debut in the League Cup semi-final comes to an end because of a few choice words that were maybe slightly misheard by the officials, I'm not sure. Yeah. There was a bit of a furore at the end of the Celtic
game. Not only
game.
Can't they see, they can't hear either.
Well, but he held his hands up and said, yeah, I said something derogatory, but I don't think it was as bad as was made out.
This is North Sound 1's Friday Sports. Stay there for more build-up to the big game here on North Sound 1.
North Sound 1. This is Friday Sport with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
Well, welcome back. The time is 22 minutes past six. You're North Sound 1's Friday Sport. The next game is on Sunday, lunchtime kickoff against Partick Thistle at Firhill. Jags manager is Alan Archibald.
They're consistent, you know what you're getting with them. You know, I think they've got a team there and a great squad up there, and they're very, very consistent anytime you get them. And even we played them earlier on, and I think we were talking them in a bad run. From a manager's point of view, when I looked at the games, I don't think they were. It was just because their standards were so high last year. They're still very consistent, they've got a great squad of players, they'll just be as hard to break down. I mean, we've only beat them once since we've come up.
Looking back at lessons learned in the Celtic game, now chatting to Red TV's Mal Panton. For North Sound 1's Friday Sport, here's Aberdeen's Peter Pollitt.
I think it's a learning process that we've got to take on board, yeah.
Yeah, I think learning is the right word, and it's having that mental toughness, isn't it, in games like that, when you know, big games when they're as close as that to see them out.
I think that's what the manager kind of, you know, it wasn't, you know, he didn't really talk about the set piece. It was more the mental, you know, mentality to go on and win the game instead of, you know, accepting a draw or, you know, losing like that. So I think that's what I think we're getting better at that, but, you know, we're definitely, you know, there's room for improvement, yeah.
Partick away, isn't it? The easy test. I mean, we obviously beat them up here comfortably. They gave us an absolute hiding, didn't they?
Yeah.
Last season.
Yeah.
So it's not an easy place to go.
No, it's not an easy place to go. I remember it because I remember scoring my first goal there. We scored 3-0 and then, got beat 3-1 in the league. So no, it was you know, we'll remember that, and you know, we'll make sure we're right on our game. Yeah.
Have you seen much of them this season?
No, I've not really seen much of them. I've just seen them obviously when we played them up here, and you know, we deserve to win that game. So, you know, they've got a few dangerous players. So, you know, I'm sure it'll be a difficult test anyway.
Andrew Peter, one of several potential match winners in the Dons squads come Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he showed in flashes against Celtic that, you know, it doesn't matter who he's up against, he can run away from folk just in the blink of an eye. But by his own admission, he hasn't been quite as consistent this season, probably because he's more closely marked and teams are closing down the supply to Peter, but definitely a match winner on his day.
Yeah, second season syndrome, I think, although he's been around for a lot more than that, it was really last season that Peter really sort of flourished as a player, and as Andrew says, teams are just doubling up on him all the time, but when he does get into that stride, gets a burst of speed up, it's quite something to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the other players and the other teams are maybe a bit wise to him, hence the reason they're doubling up. But, you know, great talent always shines through. And, you know, Peter is finding other ways of, you know, getting past them. And he's, you know, he's still in great form.
Absolutely. To the topic now, first of our collusions with Aberdeen Mad. And this week, the topic is started by GavTech. He kicks off with the post debt to be wiped out. It's on the website now. Andrew's got your thoughts on that one as it develops.
Yep, Red Johnny 77, a tremendous gesture by Willie Donald and his wife. This hopefully will stabilise the club for many, many years to come and give us the foundation to move forward in all aspects. New stadium, training facilities, playing personnel. Mason 89 chips in with, I'm glad they chose to invest in us instead of buying Rangers 15 million times. Whoosh says, I never thought I'd see the day we'd be debt-free, obviously dependent on how the debt has been converted, etc., but amazing news. He was plumbing, says, fantastic news for the club, well done to the Donald family, let's spend wisely, but please get a left-back, a centre-half and a keeper.
After we sing about having two top-class keepers. Yep.
Yes, and we're pretty well covered in the centre-back position as well. Yep. Gogs 1958, thanks Mr Chairman, I thought you knew what you were doing. Ringing endorsement for Stuart there. Sheep and Fire says, great news for the club. Well done, Mr. Milne and Mr. Yule. A Balgowney announcement to follow is also huge news. Now in a position to get more investment and push on to bigger and better things. The Moog says, fantastic news. Been waiting for something like this for years. Thank you, Willie Donald. We've needed people in the local business community to step up like this for years. We'd be great if others would follow suit. Hajduk says, this is brilliant news and gives us a platform to move forward on. If we grow on what we did in 2013-14, where we have grown turnover from 7.8 million to 11.1 million, then we're in a great position going forward. Eintracht Frankfurt, it's getting a bit foreign here now, he chips in, wow, this is great news, finally getting rid of a 20-year millstone round the club's neck. Fantastic gesture from the Donalds. And finally, Odin's left peg. Credit where it's due, well done the board. Let's hope we can get some more community investment for a new stadium, as long as this money isn't prevalent in setting up shop in Cove.
Yeah, now, I think a couple of things to make. We explained last week how it wasn't just the Donalds were putting in a sum of money, but it was a whole raft of things. The bank were involved. Yeah. Stuart Mearn Group converted £4.5 million worth of debt into shares. Aberdeen Asset did likewise for the money they produced. So the Donalds played a crucial part, but so too did the banks and the other major investors. But all in all, a win-win situation.
Oh, a total win for the club. But, you know, it's positive news. And as people have said there, it gives us a base now to move forward from. And you know for a fact that with Stuart Milne in charge, that he's not going to be going and throwing good money after bad. He's not going to think, oh, right, now we've got a clean sheet, we've got a new credit card, let's go and, you know, fill it to the max. There's no chance of that happening. Aberdeen will live within their means. And let's be thankful that we've got a board of local, sensible people. When you see some of the nonsense that's going on elsewhere in the football industry, Mr. Tan, for example, you know, his outburst about Malky Mackay's appointment at Wigan and saying it's a racist chairman appointing a racist manager.
Yeah,
so
ridiculous.
Everybody in Wigan, you're happy having racists. I'm sorry, come on. Let's a wee bit of common sense here, but that's not the sort of thing that we need to worry about. Aberdeen Football Club's in very safe hands, in a great position for moving forward.
Remember, if you want to take part in the weekly topic or poll, we'd love to hear you. We'd love to air your thoughts. Bear in mind, though, as you type them out on Aberdeen Mad, if you want them to go on air, you have to make them broadcastable, or at the very least easily edited without diminishing the content. You'll find them on Aberdeen Mad in any given week from about midweek onwards. Right, back to Partick against the Dons on Sunday lunchtime. Let's get the team selections with Predict a Derek. Dave, starting with you.
Okay, Brown in goals. I'm going for a back three: Taylor, Reynolds and Considine. Then I have McGinn, Jack, Smith, Robson and Hayes, with Pollitt behind Rooney.
Andrew?
Well, I have a sneaking suspicion that we're going to see the 4-4-2 formation come back in on Sunday. So I'm going to go Scott Brown in goals, Ryan Jack slotting into Shea Logan's position at right back, usual other three at the back: Ash Taylor, Mark Reynolds, Andy Considine. Four in the middle: Peter Pollitt, Johnny Hayes, Barry Robson, Niall McGinn, and Adam Rooney and David Goodwillie up front. It maybe does leave you a wee bit light in tacklers in the middle of the park, but we know that if Johnny Hayes gets the tap on the shoulder and gets asked, will you go and do a more defensive job in midfield and win a few challenges, he'll be up for it. And you know that Barry Robson will be as well. But as we said, you know, it's just Sod's law. Right back is suspended. The guy who would slot in is injured. The midfield players, the guys who would slot in, are injured. But as Derek has said, you know, he's got a squad there that he can rejig, and he's quite confident that it will do a job on Sunday.
Yep, sure it will. And the one to watch, Andrew?
Well, I'm going to go for Peter Pollitt. As we mentioned earlier, you know, Peter, when he's in full flow, it's probably the most thrilling sight in Scottish football at the moment. When Peter just switches on the afterburners, he's got terrific talent, great pace, he's got an ability to go past people, and I think we'll see that on Sunday.
Let's hope so. You're one to watch, Dave?
Ryan Jack, for me, Dave, his ability to read the game is almost unsurpassed. He's an absolutely superb midfielder, a vital guy to have in your team, and he's the man for me. He does such a great job that, you know, you sometimes notice him more when he's not in the team. You know, he's just there. He just knows to be in the right position, doing the right thing at the right time.
Yeah, and that's a point the manager made when Ryan was out injured. That mm-hmm. You know, he, and the manager has. There's no bigger fan of Ryan than Derek McInnes and Tony Docherty. So, yep, Ryan Jack for you and your scoreline.
Scoreline for me, I will go for 2-0 Aberdeen.
Okay, take that.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say, but I'll change my mind.
Me too, actually.
I think we could repeat the 3-0 scoreline, because I'm just looking at the past five league games between the clubs at Firhill. Thistle 3, Aberdeen 1, Thistle 0, Aberdeen 3. Thistle 1, Aberdeen 0, Thistle 0, Aberdeen 3. Thistle 2, Aberdeen 1.
There's a pattern, Aberdeen a wee three. Pattern. Ah, and of course, the Jacks do have team selection problems of their own.
They do, because Jordan McMillan is suspended. But I have to say, that was by looking at the SFA's list of the disciplinary list, the suspended players list. Now, as Peter Head discovered, that is not always gospel. So Jordan McMillan may turn up and play on Sunday, but according to the list this week, he is suspended. Stephen O'Donnell, Abdul Osman and Nathan Eccleston are injury doubts. Sean Welsh, the club captain, is out. He did play against St Mirren for half the game last time they played, but picked up a knee injury. So they've got a few problems. A new central defensive partnership in Frederick Frongs from Liers, the Belgian guy, with Dan Seaborn. So there's going to be changes in the Thistle lineup as well as there's going to be in the Aberdeen one, but I strongly fancy the Dons. We've created so many chances that somebody is due a doing.
Yep,
and sorry, the Maryhill Magyars, as
right.
You so love calling them, the Harry Rags, they're going to get that doing on
good.
Sunday.
Johnson's for rolls, Firhill for thrills. You can't beat it. Remember, full commentary of the game, which kicks off at 12:45 over on Red TV. Updates here on North Sound 1, also over on our sister station, North Sound 2. Our poll in conjunction with Aberdeen Mad is all about whether free scoring Lauren Shankland should get the nod. Dave, how's that looking?
Absolutely no doubt about the outcome of this one, Dave. Yes, 88.3%. No, just 11.7%.
Who do you leave out?
Well, this is the problem. The thing. I mean, yes, of course he deserves a run. But as Derek has said on a number of occasions, you've got to pick the right game to give him that run. Mm-hmm. Now, it may be that, hey, if everything goes according to plan and we're 3-0 up after an hour on Sunday, but then, by all means, take off either Goodwillie or Rooney, if indeed either of the two of them are playing, and throw on Lauren Shankland for the last half hour. Let's see what he can do. He did it down at Hamilton. He came on and had one of the few efforts in goal in the second half down there. He's well capable, but it's a case of trying to slot him in at the right time, not only for the team, but also for Lawrence, to give him a chance to show what he's capable of. You know, you can't judge a player in 2 minutes, but the circumstances have got to be right. But I would have no hesitation in putting him in, but the manager knows better than the three of us combined.
Absolutely. How to run a football team. Of course.
And then some indeed.
Yeah, this is North Sound One's Friday Sport. The Thistle Aberdeen game is the last of the weekend action. The rest of the Scottish Premiership matches are all 3 p.m. tomorrow kickoffs. Remember those days. A preview of all the other games in the Scottish Premiership coming up on North Sound One's Friday Sport in moments.
North Sound One, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
To the rest of the matches in the Scottish Premiership this weekend, and at Celtic Park, it's the champions against Dundee. It was Celtic's AGM today, and Chairman Peter Law believes the potential of the club is not currently being realised.
If you go back 25 years and compare us to Man United, before the media, the TV boom, there probably wasn't much in it. I think our story is unique, and it's the best. I think we have a potential fan base, Scots, Irish, diaspora around the world that would support that.
As to tomorrow's game, Dundee boss Paul Hartley knows sitting back in the match is not an option.
We'll have to go there in a good frame of mind and be positive to play against Celtic, because more times than not, that teams go there, sit back and wait for things to happen, but I don't think we can really do that.
Dave, Celtic against Dundee.
Well, Dundee certainly have players that can cause Celtic problems, the likes of David Clarkson, who scored in six successive games for the Dark Blues, but I think home advantage will count for Celtic. I think it'll be an entertaining game, but I'll take Celtic to win 2-0.
At Tannadice, United host Kilmarnock looking for a change of fortunes after the defeat at Motherwell. Here's defender Connor Townsend.
You know, it was just one of them days we didn't really get going. Killie's obviously going to be a tough game. They're a good team, so I think, like, if we say we can keep playing like we have done, you know, I don't think we'll be far away.
Meanwhile, Killie boss Alan Johnson is hopeful his injury problems will have eased somewhat.
There's a couple that are closer to coming back to full fitness. But that's a bonus. Probably the international break came at a good time for us, enabled us to get a couple of boys a little bit fitter. It's a difficult place to go. Even over the years, it's always been a difficult place to go. They've got good players and they're obviously doing well in the league. So we know we're going to have to be at our very best to get a result.
Andrew, United versus Killie.
A wee bit more difficult to predict than you might have thought, because of course Killie gave United a real doing at Rugby Park, and you know, United, when everybody expected them to beat Motherwell, lost at Fir Park. So I think fairly evenly matched, but United maybe just to sneak it by an odd goal.
Okay, Hamilton entertain St Mirren at New Douglas Park. Aki's boss, Alex Neil.
We've still got guys coming through as well at under-20s. You know, they're doing terrific as well at the moment. They're second in the league, a point behind Aberdeen. So it's not as if just the guys in the first team are doing well. You know, the group below them are doing extremely well, and a lot of them are unfortunate. They can't break into the first team at the moment because they're doing so well.
Saints manager Tommy Craig, he's obviously desperate to get something from this one.
Well, for a couple of bounce games, in-house bounce games, and we've worked on one or two things, primarily finishing, crossing and finishing, which has been a bit of a bugbear of mine this season. And hopefully the practice will open and will show on Saturday.
Dave, how do you see that one going? Hamilton against St Mirren.
I can't see St Mirren doing anything. Hamilton, from what I've seen of them this season, not just against Aberdeen, they've played some excellent football. They've played totally without fear. Tremendous win earlier in the season, of course, against Celtic at Celtic Park. They beat Aberdeen 3-0 earlier in the season as well. But, you know, they've played great football, and I see nothing other than a convincing Hamilton win. I think they'll win 2-0.
Inverness remain on the same points mark as Celtic at the top of the table. Tomorrow sees the visit of managerless Motherwell. Home boss John Hughes doesn't believe that will make the game any easier.
And I've played against Kenny Black. I know Kenny Black very well. No, Gordon Marshall is one of my good friends in football. Motherwell in good hands. They're in good hands with two guys that know what they're doing.
Here's Motherwell's Keith Lasley.
They've probably been the most impressive opponents we've played against this year. They probably gave us our toughest game and beat us 2-0 here and thoroughly deserved their victory. A big challenge, but one that we feel certainly we're going in with a little bit more confidence than we would have been, say, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
How do you see that one going, Andrew?
Well, both sides obviously have great respect for each other, and judging by these two interviews, Ross Draper suspended for Cali Thistle. They'll miss his power in the middle of the park. Motherwell have got a great record up at Inverness. I think they were the last side to win up there at the back end of last season. But I think the best that they can hope for is a share of the spoils tomorrow.
OK, the final game tomorrow is at McDermott Park, where St Johnstone face Ross County. Saints boss Tommy Wright is impressed at the way Jim McIntyre has gone about his business.
They've had a great result at Kilmarnock. They've had a lot of players they've brought in. There's been a lot of movement in players, and, you know, Jim's come in and, you know, they've been able to shape the team, you know, how he wants it. So I'm expecting a tough game.
And the county gaffer is also expecting a tough match.
We had a clean sheet last time out. That's building blocks, you know. We managed to score 3 goals and we want to continue to keep clean sheets. If you do that, you've always got a chance of winning matches.
St Johnstone, Ross County, Dave.
St Johnstone doing quite well. They're looking a bit more solid, but Ross County, they seem to be getting a bit of momentum. Jim McIntyre has basically started clearing out his predecessor's signings, and I think the two teams might just cancel each other out, maybe 1-1.
Okay, in the Championship, it's a biggie at lunchtime with Hearts meeting the Rangers. Hibs are at Dumbarton. Alloa welcome Falkirk. Livingston go to Cowdenbeath, and at tea time, it's Queen of the South against Raith Rovers. Peterhead are at home to Brechin in Scottish League One following last week's victory at Ayr United, which has now been subject to an investigation. Blue Toon boss Jim McAnally.
I seen them actually beating Stirling Albion last midweek, so I've kept tabs on them and I'm well aware of the dangers in our team, and obviously I think both of us are sitting in roughly the same point, so it all leads to an exciting game on Saturday.
The results against them earlier this season, does that have any bearing on Saturday at all?
No, none whatsoever, because for some reason, players enjoy playing away from home a bit better than they do at home. I don't know if they seem to relax more because there's less supporters there to watch them or whatever, but I always find teams away from home play with more relaxation. But by the same token, I think our players quite enjoy playing at home. I think I know Brechin well enough. I know what they'll do, how they'll play. And, you know, I think the way we set ourselves up to play usually, you know, should lead to a good attacking game, because it's, as I say, it is the third time we've played this season already, which I don't think is healthy, but you just got on with that. But knowing them so well, I don't see any surprises that they can bring us.
Highland League, Dave.
Yeah, match of the day sees third place Turriff go to second place Wick Academy. United boss Ross Jagg.
We've been building up nicely, Dave. Nobody's getting too carried away. We knew that, we had the capabilities to win by that, but they had to produce it, and I was delighted with the overall performance on Saturday. It was 5 going on a lot more, but their goalkeeper made some great saves and we created chances that we didn't finish, but overall, great display.
And away to Wick tomorrow, that's a mouth-watering game.
It's a huge game for both clubs, yeah. You know, it's a difficult place to go up to Harmsworth Park in Wick. You know, slight slope on the pitch. A lot of teams are 1-0 down before they step on the pitch, but we're prepared and we're ready. We know it's a very tough game for both teams, but well up for it.
Yeah, in the rest of the Highland League, fourth place Inverurie Locos are away to Strathspey Thistle. Now, they've lost 12 goals and scored none in their last two games. The match that Ross Jack was referring to a moment ago was in their last game. Turriff, they beat Strathspey 5-0. We've got Fermartin United going to Rothes tomorrow. Cove Rangers travel to Forest Mechanics. Devon Vale are away to Brora Rangers. Fraserburgh are at Nairn County. Huntly visit Lossiemouth. It's Clack v Bucky Thistle and Fort William face Keith.
Scottish Junior Cup third round day. All the best to Cooter at home to Falkirk, Dice at home to Port Glasgow, FC Stonewood who play Kilburnie Ladeside at Charlie Gordon Park, Newmacher, Hermes who are away to Glenrothes, Nairn St Ninian at home to Faldhouse, Maud away to Newton Grange Star, and in the All North East clash, or All North clash, Spey Valley up against Bankery St Ternan. In the PMAC Group Super League, Banksiddy at home to Cruden Bay, Inverness City go to Devonside, Hull Ross United against New Elgin, Stonehaven versus Ellen United. To England now, where Arsenal's meeting with Manchester United heads the programme in the Barclays Premiership, as George Alderman reports for North Sound One's Friday Sport.
Chelsea meet West Brom at Stamford Bridge in one of 6 3 o'clock kickoffs. Jose Mourinho's side are 4 points clear at the top of the table and 8 ahead of champions Manchester City, who play Swansea. The Chelsea boss says the old cliche of taking each game as it comes is serving them well so far.
I expect to win, but I expect a very, very difficult match. I expect to win, always. So we go to every match thinking about that.
Elsewhere, West Ham hope to hold on to fourth place when they go to Everton. Bottom side Burnley are at Stoke, while fellow strugglers QPR make the trip to Newcastle and Leicester host Sunderland. The evening game then sees a clash between two sides who've regularly been competing for Premier League titles in recent years, as Arsenal take on Manchester United in North London. Danny Welbeck came through the academy at United and now plays for Arsenal. He's scored 10 times for club and country since moving to North London. Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger thinks they may have acted hastily in moving him on.
I believe as well you have to understand that Louis van Gaal had not Welbeck under his orders for a long time, and it's always very difficult to know the players well when you see them 3 or 4 weeks.
But United boss Louis van Gaal says they've got someone of their own who's been successful against his old side.
You know also that Van Persie was a player of Arsenal. It is the football world. He scored already 3 goals against Arsenal when he was a Manchester United player. That's life.
Liverpool are in London on Sunday as they go up against Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park, while Tottenham travel to Hull. And Southampton know they'll hang on to second, whatever the outcome of Monday night's match at Aston Villa.
Golf now, and Richie Ramsay doing well, Dave, in the end of season Dubai DP World Tour Championship.
Yeah, fantastic. He is tied for second place, a round of 69 today, 67 yesterday. So he's 8 under par, just 2 behind the leader, Henrik Stenson.
And in the Davis Cup final, it's after day one, it's all square, but probably not a huge surprise because Wawrinka is world number 4, but he's the one that's kept Switzerland in that one.
Yeah, he's done very well today. Roger Federer, though, the big upset, his recent woes continued with defeat in 3 sets to Gael Monfils. Monfils 6-1, 6-4, 6-3 over Federer.
Yeah, very surprising there. Some of the junior games that we missed out on there. The PMAC Group First Division East, Bridge of Don Thistle against Sunnybank. That's at Hillhead. Colony Park versus Fraserby United, Aberdeen University go to Glentanner. Lewis United, Newmacher United, and also Park Longside East End and Parkvale, Buckenhaven Hearts. That last one should be an absolute cracker. First Division West, Burghead Thistle are at home to Grantown, and Forest Thistle against Bucky Rovers. It's Ayleville away to Lossiemouth United, and White Hills entertain Dufftown. And of course, as far as our trip to Glasgow is concerned, it's an early start for us on
just a bit
Sunday, as we mentioned.
I live out in the sticks as well. I'm going to have to get up in the middle of the night.
Well, you just have to cancel your weekend. But of course, Jim Irving back after a break, and he'll be at Peterhead tomorrow here on Gossip and Goals with the guys on North Sound 1 bringing you the latest. As far as we're concerned, it's the updates on both North Sound 1 and North Sound 2 on Sunday afternoon. It's a 12:45 kickoff.
12:45.
Got to get it right.
Okay, Mal, if you're listening.
It's 12:45 kickoff on Sunday.
Don't be late.
So, updates on North Sound 1 and on North Sound 2. And full commentary over on Red TV. That's just about your lot for another week on Friday Sport. As ever, it has flown by. Good luck to all your sports as they happen over the weekend. From Andrew, from Dave, and from myself, have a great weekend.